Welcome to the VendingMarketWatch.com podcast. I'm the editor, Emily Reformat, and today we are featuring Brewsmart Beverage, an office coffee service company based in Chicago, Illinois. The second-generation owner, Scott Unter, grew up in the industry, giving him a ground-up perspective, but his outlook is anything but traditional. He looks to high-end trends and ways to help businesses stand out to employees and customers. Listen in as I ask Scott all about his growing beverage business. Well, hi, Scott. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'd love to hear about what's trending. What's popular in your area?
Probably the biggest thing that people are asking for now is the cold brew, the craft on draft. And we're getting a lot of requests for not just the coffee, whether it's cold brew or nitro, but also for teas as well. So that's something that we're noticing a big request on.
Oh, now that's interesting. So when you say cold brew coffee, is it only the draft that's really seen the uptick, or even bottled?
Not as much bottled, just because of the fact that in Chicago, a lot of the businesses already have draft systems, whether it's like a Friday night or Friday afternoon margarita mixer, which, you know, they'll have, you know, different beers on tap. But they're looking to replace those with something that's available to the office on a more regular basis. You know, having the employees cracking beers at, you know, 6 a.m. isn't always the best thing. So they're looking to, you know, give more options. And we're getting a lot of requests for it. So it's something completely new very profitable for our end, and customers are enjoying it.
Now, do you make your own cold brew?
No, we actually go through and we work with a company called Joyride.
Okay. And how does that work, working with someone else, contracting?
It's a little bit easier on our end. We looked into the financials of what it would cost to actually have our own system. We would have to run it through our restaurants. And what it basically boiled down to is that Joyride has the licensing for so many different brands that we could never manufacture nor make what they do. And they actually are with one of our partners, Segafredo Zanetti, and they produce the Segafredo cold brew and nitro brew. So that's how we actually got hooked up with Joyride. And then they have their own private label brands along with teas and other items. So it's a good partnership so far. Excited to see, you know, what the future holds.
That sounds excellent. Now, before, when I asked you about the trending, you also said cold brew. Besides cold brew, you said iced teas. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
So can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, what they're doing is, you know, when we go in there to a customer, we're putting in usually a 2 or 3 draft kegerator. And there's only so much coffee that one person can really drink in a day. And now they're starting to basically keg different flavored iced teas, green teas, matcha teas, kombucha. It's all there for us. So it's just adding another thing for customers to purchase from us.
Oh, wow. So now, how does that work? Is it a concentrate that you get somewhere, or does that come through Joyride?
There's 2 different styles that are usually produced. Joyride does either a concentrate or ready-to-drink. We get the ready-to-drink just because we don't have to hook it up to a water line or anything. So we're finding that in a lot of offices, they have more or less areas where there's ping pong tables, dartboards, foosball tables, but there's no sinks or anything around. And the kegerator is on weak casters, so we can move it around and set it in that area, and we don't have to worry about a water line or a drain.
That makes a lot of sense. Are there any types of businesses that you see, any types of industry that this is really beginning to resonate with, or is it across the board?
It's across the board, but mainly what we're seeing it in is that if a business is wanting to attract higher quality talent, they have to go outside of the traditional, you know, better pay. Younger millennials are looking to have the ping pong table, or have lunch catered every day from their company. So it's just another thing to sort of set businesses apart from the competition. Besides, everybody, you know, usually gets paid around the same, whether you're in marketing or sales, as like a base salary, but having the perks of higher quality coffees and teas, even espressos, food items such as fresh fruit or food brought in, is a huge draw to businesses. So they're seeing the value added of using cold brew or anything that we offer.
Can you give us some indication of how fast it's growing for you, a percentage growth over last year, or however you're measuring that?
As far as the cold brew, last year we were at zero. We really weren't looking at it at all. And then with the offices, again, we weren't that deep into them just because we were dealing more with convenience stores and restaurants and those things. So the office, growth-wise, we've probably grown 25 to 30% this year just with the changeover and offering just higher quality products.
That's terrific. So now, would you say that anything in particular, perhaps it's even employee retention or attracting these younger millennials, is truly important to your customer, at least in the office, or even in some of your on-premise or restaurant or convenience store businesses?
What's most important to them is just having the variety that we offer of higher quality products. I know we spoke in the past about with millennials, they have more expendable income. They're not buying houses, they're renting, so they have more money in their pocket. They're going out there and they're going to nicer restaurants. When they go get coffee, it's not like it was years ago where it was always, you know, Folgers was the big name. Everybody had Folgers in their office. Now it's, you have Intelligentsia, you have Big Shoulders, you have a lot of local roasters, you have Starbucks, Seattle's Best, Pete's, you know, you name the higher end coffees. That's what people are really attracted to. And, you know, it basically they're educating the customer to understand the difference on quality from not just the coffee standpoint, but then also moving into like the different types of teas, the different types of espressos that we offer, and then all bottled beverages as well.
How do the bottled beverages work?
We have a couple different programs that we use besides just traditional vending. We have a newer vending program for smaller offices that are under 100 people, and we call it our bespoke program, where it's all higher-end products such as iced coffees, iced lattes. It'll have higher quality food items in it, and they basically go into combo vending machines. And it's getting away from sort of just the regular Coke or Pepsi or just the regular Aquafina water, but we're putting in Smart Water, Fiji Water, where the transactions are not the typical, you know, $1.50 for a soda. We're looking at $3 and $4 for either like a Monster Energy or a Lacombe iced coffee. So we have a couple different programs in the bottled side as well. And then we also have a lot of customers that will just purchase the products outright, and then we provide the coolers for them.
Now, how new is that vending program?
The vending program has actually taken off. It's probably one of our bigger sides of growth in the vending side of our business. For many years, we were traditional like everybody else. You know, you have to have, you know, 75 people, and it was a Coke and a Pepsi machine or a snack machine, and that was it. We started getting into our first couple micro markets here earlier this year, and we noticed that not only do they just really just, you know, people are going in there and grabbing the products and they're buying everything. It's a little bit easier when they're able to actually touch and feel the product. We're noticing that there's more requests for these items, but when people come in and they say they only have 75 or 85 employees, we explain how much it is for micro market. You know, there's just not that much money in it for us if we went that small, but we give them another option. And as long as we provide the mobile pay, the credit card readers, they're extremely thrilled with it. And we're able to go in there, and again, instead of the $1.50 or the dollar bag of chips, we're going in there with chef's cut beef jerky at $3. So our bottom line is replacing the, I guess you could say, the smaller number of employees and bringing it up as though it's acting as like a 120-person account.
That's amazing. And that's all just from the quality of the products or the, maybe the brand names or the perception of the quality of those?
It's both. It's just the quality. You know, people are willing to pay more for higher quality products and also the brand names that they're seeing.
Now, are you trying to hit locations that maybe have a certain kind of employee that like these brand names, or would you say this is kind of a trend that's happening all over your area?
We see it as a trend really hitting in the city of Chicago more than it is in the suburbs. We're just seeing just because of, as much as people like getting out in the city, there's just not that many locations. Real estate's very expensive, so you're not having the 7-Elevens as much. You're not having the little quick cash and carries as much. So it's easier for us to go in there and provide the service. And when we tell customers, you know, when we use par level systems, which we use here in-house, you know, you never have to call us. We're going to be there. We know when the product's going to be running low, when to refill it. If something's slow moving, we call the customer to let them know, hey, why don't you try something else? Because we have a smaller footprint and we have about half the amount of selections as a traditional soda machine and snack machine being separate, we're just staying on top of it, and the customers are really, really taking to it.
Well, that sounds terrific. Can you give us, just mention it, what your kind of area is, what your service area is?
We're broken down and cover 14 states. So our service area is basically Chicago, the Midwest, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan. Then we also have a facility in Cincinnati, Ohio, that covers the Ohio River Valley, which is more southern to central Ohio through Kentucky. We have a location in Atlanta, Georgia, which pretty much covers two-thirds of the state of Georgia. And then we have Jacksonville, Florida, which then also covers basically Savannah down to Daytona Beach all along the coastline. And then coming up August 1st, we're actually opening a facility in Austin, Texas.
Wow, you're really expanding.
We're busy.
A bit.
Yeah.
Are those mostly, are those office coffee service locations or satellite
Yes.
offices, or do they do other? Okay.
We do primarily in everything but Chicago, we do water service, whether it's bottled or filtration units, and then we also do our full line coffee, so that deals with everybody from the offices to convenience stores, restaurants, hospitality, on premise, pretty much everything there. We don't do much in vending just because we actually haven't had a real need for it yet. So we're trying to stay away from it, but I'm sure eventually we will be asked to do it, and we will do it.
Well, that makes sense. You talked about cold brew kind of being in the Chicago area. Are you seeing a difference in some of those other locations that you mentioned?
No, we're actually seeing, even in the warmer areas, the hardest thing when you go into locations like Atlanta or even Texas, we have to follow, there's a little bit more regulation when it comes to the water, how we have to control everything. They also, it's space requirements. So some facilities will not allow us to put stuff on casters, some will. One thing that we're noticing that we're getting some calls on recently is for restaurants wanting to replace slow-moving beer taps with either a nitro cold brew or even iced tea to bring in something a little more fancier than just the 3 gallon brew batch tea.
How exciting. So the restaurants are actually calling you to do that.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Keeping us busy, so we're happy.
You've been in the business a long time. Your father started the business, correct? Can you tell us a little bit about your time in the business and the evolution of your company a little bit?
We, as a company, started out as Antique Coffee back in 1970. So we've been around 48 years. My father started it in Arlington Heights, and then moved to a couple different facilities here in Elk Grove. And I always say I was born into the industry. As soon as I could probably walk and talk, I was able to lick envelopes and stuff them and send out past due invoices and everything else. So I learned from the ground up, swept the warehouse, and ran my own vending route and coffee route and did service. So I'm pretty well versed in the industry, I'd say. I took over a couple years back when my father, we say semi-retired because he still checks in on me, make sure I haven't sold the place. And when I took over, it was just sort of a changing of the guard. My father ran it very much how the industry norm was. Again, 75 people for vending. You had OCS, you had pour overs, you had all of this. One of the big changes that we went into was that how we look at customers and approach them is if somebody's willing to take coffee, that's a customer to us. We don't, just because it's OCS, everyone just focuses on its office. Well, there's so many more people out there from restaurants and gas stations, hotels, you name it, that need services like ours. So that's where we started getting into the convenience store market was very big for us. That saved us in 2007, 2008, when people were not going to Starbucks as much, but going to the gas station to get their coffee. So that was great. And then over the last couple of years is where we've really shown growth in moving out of state, having facilities in Ohio, Georgia, Florida, and now our next thing in a couple of weeks here will be Texas.
Absolutely outstanding. So with all that time, what would you say has changed the most, maybe in the last couple of years, and then follow up to that with what your outlook is for the next 5 to 10 years?
I would say that the biggest change over the last couple of years has been the greatest thing, I guess, to our industry is really bean to cup and micro market. I was really against the micro markets just because when they first came out, there was really only a few services out there. And when you look at the investment, it's like, well, we used to get machines from Pepsi and Coke for free. Now we have to spend $6,000 and $7,000 on these kiosks. What's going on here? But after we tried a few of them, working with Par Level, who really convinced us to do it and try a couple, we've been extremely pleased with them. The bean to cup brewers are just, we can't put them out fast enough just because we're able to, it gives the customers higher quality product at the end. A lot of the single cup machines, they've sort of worn their course, which, I mean, we still get requests for K-cups, for pods and everything else. But when it breaks it down to it, we're able to sell more cups per location when we put in bean to cup because we are able to use the hot chocolate mix and the whipped topper mix and everything else. So the bean to cups in the micro markets have been just a great success for us so far. And we look at growing those areas. I think outlook over the next 5 years, my idea is to probably keep expanding slowly but surely and don't get too far ahead of ourselves. But I think that what's going to really change in our industry, I think, is just overall the quality. You're going to have customers be more well-versed when it comes to our industry and what we sell. It's just like, look at bottled water. 10 years ago, if somebody was going to tell you, well, you got to buy a bottle of water. Well, we get it from the sink for free. Now you have a plethora of all different types of waters, flavoring, electrolytes, everything they put into these waters. People are still health conscious, yet they still like their snacks. So you're always going to have a wide variety of those items. But overall, I think the biggest thing that we're going to be looking at is how are we able to bring the higher quality items and the items that the customers are willing to pay more money for, that's going to be the biggest thing.
That's a very exciting opportunity as well. You talk about bringing that higher quality that customers are willing to pay for. Do you notice a difference between when the client pays or when the business pays or when the actual consumer pays? Or is it about the same, like what they'll buy?
It's about the same. When years ago it would be, you know, if you went back 5 or 10 years ago when it was like K-cups and everything else, everybody, you know, they wanted it, but then you'd always have the people that didn't want it. You know, the boss wouldn't want to pay for it because of the amount of product that was either walking out of the business or the overall cost per cup.
Mm-hmm.
I think nowadays, again, it's all about, as much as McDonald's is a competitor to ours because we service the cafes and the restaurants and everything, it's free marketing. So when McDonald's does something like they put in higher quality coffee, people start understanding, well, you need to start drinking higher quality products. You know, yes, it's worth a little bit more because of the overall taste. But no, we're seeing that obviously if an owner is willing to pay for his employees, they're going to take a little bit more advantage of it. But we're seeing that employees are willing to also pay and even subsidize at times to make sure that they get something better.
Well, that sounds very exciting. A great opportunity for you and great opportunity for the industry. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing all this with us.
Not a problem. Thank you for calling.